Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkos Vav. We are on Hamad Beis, about 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Big daf today. Just basics in terms of the sources of Shiur, Chatzitza, Mechitza. Big daf today. Just a quick review from yesterday. The Gemara yesterday wanted to learn out the halacha regarding Mechitza being 10 tfachim, specifically by a sukkah. Minimum dimensions of a sukkah is 10 tfachim. How do I know that? So the Gemara spent the entirety of yesterday's daf generating the halacha in terms of how we know that a sukkah has to be a base minimum of 10 tfachim. The Gemara really could be a broader discussion in terms of a mechitza in general. In other words, the very definition of mechitza is that it's 10 tfachim. Anytime that we have a mechitza requirement, so it has to be 10 tfachim high. By Shabbos and Erevin. So obviously there's a lot of mechitza discussion as we create domains, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So over there, the standard mechitza height is 10 tfachim. Okay, so over here by Sukkah also there's a mechitza requirement that has to be 10 tfachim. And so the question over here, the Menachan Emil of yesterday's Gemara, really is not necessarily limited to Sukkah. It could be a broader discussion regarding mechitzas in general. So how do we know? How do we know that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high? So that's I can't answer that question in one sentence. It was yesterday's daf. The entirety of yesterday's daf is looking to teach us the halacha. We started with Aaron yesterday. Aaron became the base model of a kli in the base of mikdash that's 10 tefachim high, and so just like the Aaron is 10 tefachim high, so then the sukkah also should be 10 tefachim high. The Aron presented two problems. One is that the Chalal Aron, the interior of the Aron, is not 10 tefachim high. The Chalal Aron is only 9 tefachim high, and then on top of that, you have the kaparos, you have the lid, right? It's a golden lid, and so that makes up the last tefachim. So therefore, you don't have a Chalal of 10 tefachim, and the sukkah has to be a Chalal of 10 tefachim. So that presents one problem. The other problem with the Aron is that the Aron being 10 tefachim high, so that's not divrei hakol, that's not everybody. So we learned at the end of yesterday's daf, it's a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in terms of how to measure the Aron. How could there possibly be a machlokas? The Torah gives a very clear dimension of how high the Aron is. So the answers we learned in yesterday's daf is that the Torah speaks in terms of amas. The Torah says regarding the Aron, it's an amah v'chetzi. It's an amah and a half. So when measuring an amah, so typically an amah is measured with 6 tefachim. However, machlok is between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in terms of when I'm measuring the kelim of the base of Mikdash, do I use a 5 tefach amah or do I use a 6 tefach amah? So that turns into a machlok. If I subscribe to the viewpoint that we're using a 5 tefach amah, so now that obviously is going to present a problem because a 5 tefach amah, which means that your first amah is going to be 5, your half amah is going to be 2.5, that's 7.5. Let's assume the kaparis is a tefach, but that gets me only to 8.5. That's not going to work out. Okay, so that was one approach, but the Gemara points out it's a limited approach. The other approach the Gemara went to yesterday is the Kruvim. The Kruvim and the Mishkan, so they're going to create Schach. In other words, the Pasuk describes that they are Sochachim Bekanfeihem. So they create a Schach with their wings. Their wings are going to actually hover over the airspace, and that airspace is going to be 10 Tefachim. Now, how do we know that? That also is not a simple question to answer. That going back to yesterday's daf. So we pointed out that basically we're going to take the base of Mikdash Shlomo HaMelech, and we're going to look at where the Kruvim end. A third of the way up from the floor up to the top of the Kruvim is a third of the way up. In other words, the Kruvim by Shlomo HaMelech's base of Mikdash is 10 amos of the 30 amos total. So it's a third. So we're assuming in the Mishkan that the Kruvim are going to go up from the total height of 10 amos. So the Kruvim are going to go up a third of that, which is 20 tefachim. So 20 tefachim. Now again, this is going to really be, it's going to hinge on the Aron. If the Aron is 10 tefachim off the ground, so then the airspace between the Kruvim, the wings of the Kruvim, and the arm is going to be 10 tefachim, and good, Shalma Yisrael, now we have it. However, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, if the Aron is 8.5 tefachim, which is a Shita, that's one of the Tanaim, so if the Aron is 8.5 tefachim, so now the airspace between the Kruvim and the top of the Aron is going to be 11.5, and that obviously exceeds 10 tefachim. Okay, when all said and done, okay, that was a lot of review from yesterday. Okay, anyway, when all said and done, so we don't have one definitive source that teaches us that the halal of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. Okay, so where did that leave us off with? So it left us off where we're going to pick it up right now. And so let's pick it up. So Elul Rav Yehuda, so this is now exactly where we left off yesterday. So Elul Rav Yehuda, so you're going to have to say that according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that when it comes to the Kelim and the Beis HaMikdash, you measure it with a, not a five, not with a six Tefach Hamah, but rather five Tefach Hamah. So again, we don't have a source. So the Gemara says, right, you're right, we don't have a source. So what is it? It's called Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Da'am Rav Chia Barashi, Amar Rav Shir, Mechatzitza, Mechitza, Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. So when it comes to three categories of halacha, so they are definitively Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Now, these aren't the only Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. There are others as well. But it just happens to be that these three categories have a significant amount of Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. And so the three categories are Shiurim, that's amounts, Chatzitza, when going into the mikvah, so you cannot be any separation between you and the Mayim. And Mechitzas, and talking about a wall, so there are many Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. We're going to go through all three categories. Today's daf is going to be basically a review of all three of these categories. So let's go. Category number one. Category number one is Shiurim. So the Gemara is bothered. The Gemara says, you're telling me that when it comes to Shiur, it's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. The Gemara has a Havamina. When I say a Havamina, it's going to make up almost half of today's daf. The Gemara has a Havamina that it's not Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, but it's Kasa B'Kra. It's written in the Psukim. Now, just in general, right, we touched on this point a couple days ago, but just in general, meaning whether it's Kasa B'Kra, whether it's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, the Halacha is Min HaTorah, right? They're both Min HaTorah. In other words, it happens to be that one is Torah Shebechsav and the other is Torah Shebaal Peh. But Torah Shebaal Peh is just as much as Torah as Torah Shebechsav. They complement one another. So there may be subtle differences, nuanced differences between Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, but nevertheless, they both obviously still come with the full force of a mitzvah satorah, right? The most basic difference between them, of course, is onshim in terms of punishments. But even that's not so simple, because obviously, once we have a shear, the shear will result in an onish, meaning that when this is where they complement one another. In other words, when you have, let's say, for example, nisr in the Torah that you're not allowed to eat chaylev, okay? Now, how much chaylev are you going to eat before you get an onish? The answer is a kezias. How do I know kezias? The answer is Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. So here, right, the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai is obviously complementing the Isser of the Torah Shebichsav in order to result in an onish. So, right, it's hard to really separate Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav in this regard, but still, what the Gemara is bothered by is by calling it Torah Shebaal Peh, which the Gemara is doing right now, Torah Shebaal Peh, Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Right now, those terms are being used synonymously. So by calling it Torah Shebaal Peh, you're giving us the impression that it's not Kasa B'Torah. And the Gemara says, but isn't it Kasa B'Torah? Meaning, don't we have a clear pasuk in the Torah that tells us about Shiurim? Now, what's the clear pasuk in the Torah? So as you're going to see, it's not so clear. It's pasuk in Parshas Ekev. So it's not so clear. And the Havamina in the Gemara is admittedly difficult to understand. Like why the Gemara for a moment is going to think, and more than a moment, the Gemara is going to think that this is really an Isser Min HaTorah that's Kasa B'Torah, and it's not Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Okay, that's what the Gemara thinks, and so obviously, let's follow along. So Shiurim Daraisa and Indichsiv, so the Gemara says, you're telling me it's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, it's not Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, it's Daraisa. The word Daraisa over here just simply means it's Kasa B'Torah. How do I know that? Because the Pasuk says, Eretz Chito Sora Gefenu Se'ena Virimon Eretz Zeishemen U'Devash. Good, so that's the Pasuk in Parshas Ekev. V'amar Rav Chanan Kol HaPasuk HaZeh L'Shiuran Emar. Now, Rav Chanan says that it's all L'Shiurin, meaning every one of these fruit. Now, obviously, as Rashi points out over here, the Pasuk is coming to teach us about the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to be beautiful. And you're going to have all these types of fruits. And, obviously, we're highlighting Eretz Yisrael with the fruit that are specific towards Eretz Yisrael. So, but the Gemara now is looking at this Pasuk and putting on the halacha glasses and seeing halacha in every one of these fruit. So and let's go. But so
the thing is, this is not explicit for measurements.
I understand. Right now we're in a Havamina. You're correct, and ultimately the Gemara is going to land exactly where you are right now. So just, you know, if I could put pause on your point, your point is excellent, and the Gemara is going to come back to it. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Chanan Kol Pasuk Zeh L'Shiur Nemar. So good. Every one of the peiros mentioned over here is la halacha, and specifically the halachas of shiurin. So let's go. Number one, chita lebeis manuga. So when it comes to chita, so that comes into shiur as it relates to in terms of a house that has the ras. Did not. So here we go with the basic halacha, and that is anichlas lebeis manuga. So again, this is basic halacha. Basic halacha, assuming that there is it's saras batim, right? Nige batim. Nigibatim. First of all, the Gemara has a discussion whether it ever happened. Okay, the Gemara has an opinion that never occurred, but it's on the books. It's in the Torah, and so the halacha is that if you have a Beis HaManugah and you walk into a Beis HaManugah, so you're going to become tameh. Now within that, so we have a very specific halacha which we're going to learn together right now, and that is anichlas the Beis HaManugah v'kelav aktefa v'sandal v'tabosav biyado hu v'hein tameh miyad. So let's say he goes into a Beis HaManugah. So, and the Mishnah over here is describing where you have, you're holding on to clothing. You're not wearing them. I mean, you could be wearing other clothing, but that's not the point. The point is that you're going in with, you're walking in with clothing, holding them. And not just clothing, but jewelry as well. But you're holding them. You're not wearing them. So when does everything become tummy? The moment you gain entrance into the Beis HaManugah, you're going to become tummy effective immediately. However, as we now turn to the top of Vav Amud Aleph, Hayalav Vishkelav Visandalav Viraglav. You happen to be wearing the clothing, right? You're wearing the clothing. You're putting on the shoes. Vitabasav Etzbasav. You're wearing the rings. Hu Tamei Miyad Vehin Tarin Ad Shiyisha Bichtei Achilas Pras. So you're going to become Tamei effective immediately. Meaning that doesn't change. But the clothing is going to be on a delay. Your clothing does not become Tamei until some time elapses. How much time elapses? The amount of time that it takes to eat, pras, right? A half of a kikar of bread. So paschitim v'la pasorin over here, super specific. Not just a half a kikar of bread, but the bread is made up of wheat, not barley. And mesa v'ocha b'liftan. And not only that, but you're reclining while eating them, and you're eating them b'liftan, you're using some sort of condiment. Okay. Now, I know that is, right? I know that's so super specific. Okay, so wheat bread as opposed to barley bread. You're focused and concentrated on eating it, and you have some sort of condiment. Now, does that result in a faster eating, slower eating? Rashi over here assumes that it's a faster eating. Right. The Rashi writes mesav dahinu derech achila mishu hu mesav hu asuk beachila. You're totally focused on eating. Ve'inu tarib bedvar macherim, and right now you're not eating and working. Okay, good. And so presumably it's faster. Anyway, what do we know from this amount of time that elapses? In other words, right, it's generally speaking, it's like throughout Shas, whenever the Torah tries to give a measurement of time, the Torah always talks about it in terms of an activity. Over here eating, other places walking. Okay, good. But the point over here is that the eating, the delayed elapsed time in order for your clothing to become tameh as you walk into a Beis HaManugah is going to be the amount of time that it takes to eat chatzi kikar of wheat bread when you're totally focused on eating the bread. Now, as Ben pointed out moments earlier, you saw all that in the word chita? Now, obviously the answer is no. And so that's why the Gemara is going to end up saying, okay, it's really halacha Moshe Mesinai, but right now we are entertaining a havamina, so we're still in the havamina. So sa'ora ditnan, so what about barley? So etzem kisara, metame b'magav amasavena, metame ba'oel. So a bone chip. So you have a bone chip of human remains, so that gives off tumah. Now, tumas maga, tumas masa, a transmission of tumah comes through either contact or through carrying it. Not tumas oel, for tumas oel, what do you need? So in the world of bones, what you need is rov minyan or rov binyan, either the majority of the bone structure or the bones that represent the majority, the height of a person, shedra v'gulgolis. Okay, so that gives off tumas oel, but if it's just a bone chip, so it's not going to give off tumas oel, but it will give off tumas mago masa. However, you still need a requisite amount of that bone chip. How much bone chip do you need? So you need a seora, the size of a barley corn. Geffen kedei revias yain lenazir. So when it comes to Geffen, so how is Geffen now going to be treated as a shear? Now Geffen, although it means grape, we're understanding it to mean wine. So it is kedei revias yain lenazir. So it's going to establish a revias yain lenazir. Rashi over here offers a really interesting pshat. And, right, I wouldn't have suggested this a simple pshat in the Gemara, but this is Rashi's pshat. Kidei revias yain, look at Rashi. Vishari suri nazir di igalaman damra mesechas nazir de chartsanim v'alav mitstarfen l'shir revias yain. So when it comes to grape products, right, nazir is not allowed to eat. Now, nazir is not allowed to drink wine, but the truth of the matter is that the nazir is not allowed to eat any grape product. Now, that includes not just the pulp of the grape, but it also includes the seeds and the skins as well. It even includes the leaves of the grapes. Okay, grape leaves. Yeah. Parenthetical note, I like them. So the So the all right. So the so any part of the grape, the any part of the grapevine that's edible. So a so nazir is not allowed to eat. Now Rashi goes on to say over here. I'm sorry. L'shir revius yayin shim yitnim lakos malay yayin. So and Rashi says now how is yayin going to affect the shir? So it'll affect in the following manner. So the you're going to now put in these solid grape products, seeds, skins, shoots, leaves. So you're going to put them in a cup of wine. Until a revius of wine comes out. Okay, so in other words, we're looking at displacement, but we have to take something else into account. Says Rashi, now, if I were to put it in water, so the surface tension of water is not that great. Yes, there is some surface tension. And yes, it's going to hover over the cup a little bit. But when you're talking about wine, oh, so wine, which is more viscous, so that has even more surface tension. And so therefore, Rashi goes on to say, Mishum diayin avu, ve'ina memar lates, ela nivrats v'nigdash asfasikos. So basically now it's going to, you're going to have a lot of surface tension over that cup, yoser minamayim. And what does that mean, therefore? That you're going to have to put in more seeds and more leaves in there in order for a revius to come out. Comes out now that the way Rashi is describing it really is a kula. It's a leniency. Meaning that in order to result in an onesh regarding a nazir eating the grape product, so he's going to have to put more in order to yield the shear, the requisite shear of a revius. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat over here. Good. There are other pshatim, but right now, just for the daf, Rashi. So was that Skeffen Kedei Revius Yain? Lenazir. Te'ena. Now we're up to a fig. So Kegorgos Lahotzah Shabbos. So that is going to be a grogris. Right, when in terms of Hotzah Shabbos carrying out on Shabbos, so the standard amount that one carries on Shabbos in order to be chayev for the malach of Hotzah is a grogris. Okay, right, the Mishnayot there on Shabbos spend a lot of time, prakim, of going over what the various shirim are for various items, but for foods, the shir is a grogris. Rimon, we're up to pomegranate. So did not call kli bali batim shirim kerimonim. Okay, you have a hole in your kli. So is that going to render it a dysfunctional kli? Depends how big the hole is. Okay, so when it comes to an umman, a professional, so he's going to be makbid over a smaller hole. But when it comes to a balabayas, so look, if I have a hole in my kli, okay, I'm not going to throw it out yet. I'll still use it. I'll use it for larger items. So at what point in time now does the kli now become totally dysfunctional and has no longer any hishtamshas? So the kli has to be big enough where a pomegranate would fit through the kli. That's a big hole, obviously. So the what is all this? How is all this important in terms of halacha? And the answer is very simple: tuma. So we know that a kli is metame when it is functional and when it has purpose and usage. However, once it falls out of disuse, so even if it were tame, the tuma would just simply go away. Okay, good. So at what point in time now is the hole in the kli going to be rendered big enough, large enough, where the kli is no longer functional? And the answer is when it's the size of a pomegranate. And again, the Gemara is now saying that that's the pasuk in the Torah. Again, we're still in the Havamina, meaning we would have figured all this out based on the pasuk in the Torah. Again, it's a strange Havamina. So Eretz Zei Shemen, so Eretz Shekol Shira Kezesim. Now, in terms of olives, so every shear is an olive. And the Gemara immediately says, what do you mean every shear is an olive? Kol Shira Shira Sakadatcha Haikahani Damaran. Well, we understand. We're learning a daf right now where there are other shiurim as well. Elaema Rishir Rov Shira Kezesim. So the Gemara says, you're right. We don't mean kol, we mean rov. The majority of the shiurim are zayis. Good. Kakoseves. Okay, we're up to the date. So Kakoseves Agasav Yom Kippurim. Okay, so the date is the shear going for Yom Kippur. Okay, we just spent a good amount of time in the eighth parak of Yuma going over the shear of a kosevis. All right, the Gemara endeavored to figure out. We know the shear of a kosevis was more than a kazayas. Where is it relative to the beitza? So you remember the Gemara in Yuma we did not so long ago. Machlokes amarayim, whether it's larger than a beitza or smaller than a beitza. But anyway, the shear is a kosevis as it relates to inui of Yom Kippur. Remember? A kosevis, even though just in general, shiurim of achila is a kazayis, by Yom Kippur, the Torah never uses the words achila. The Torah says, v'inisim es nafsho sechem, we have to afflict ourselves in Yom Kippur. And affliction comes in as a result of we're uncomfortable. And at what point in time is discomfort removed? When you have a kosevis. That's what we discussed back in Yuma. Ama daraisa ninu. So the Gemara says, oh, so what have we just proven? So the Gemara says, we've just proven that this is Torah Shebichsav. And you're telling me it's Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the question. The Gemara says, yeah, but Vitizbar Shira Miksiva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in three words, the Gemara dismisses. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Do you see Shirim at all in the pasuk that we just went through? Meaning, if you read the pasuk, would you have been able to figure out everything that we just discussed? Obviously, the answer is no. It is difficult, admittedly, to try to explain what the Havamina was, right? It's a difficult Havamina, but okay. The Gemara says, Elahilchus Aninu, V'kras Machta Ba'alma. So you're right. In other words, there is connection between the pasuk in Parshas Hekev and all these halachas that we went through. But that falls under the category of Asmachta, meaning that's not the Yesod halacha. The Yesod halacha is that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, as we said from the beginning, and quite frankly, we knew all along. It just happens to be that this pasuk is serving as an Asmachta, right? Often is the time that the Chachamim connect halachas to pasukim in the Torah, even though it's not the pasuk that's generating the halacha, but nevertheless a connection, right? It's interesting. Now what comes out over here is that Asmachta. So the Chachamim's interest in connecting to pesukim in the Torah is not just limited to Dinei Derabanan, meaning that, generally speaking, we say that the Chachamim have a Din Derabanan, and they connect it to a pasuk in the Torah, right? We're actually going even one step further than that. We're looking at Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim and the Chachamim's interest in connecting it to pesukim in the Torah. Okay, that's it's next level Asmachta, if you will. Okay, next. Chatitzin. Okay, so we're the three categories that we're discussing today. So the first one we already went over, and that's Shiurim. And now we're up to Chatitzin. So the Gemara says that Chatitzin Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim. Now the basic idea of a Chatitza is that there can be nothing separating you and the water. When you go into the water for mikvah, so there has to be full contact with your whole body and the water. And nothing can serve as a barrier. And if something's serving as a barrier, so the tefillah is no good. The Gemara is describing it as Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim, and again, the Gemara is bothered by basically the same point. What do you mean Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim? Isn't it Pesukim in the Torah? So Chatzitz and Daraisin and Dichsiv Rachatz Besara B'Mayim. So the Torah says that you have to go in the water. So Shalei Davar Chotzitz Bein Olavein Amayim. And just simple pshat in the pasuk is that you have to be in the water. There must be contact between you and the water. So it seems to be a pasuk in the Torah. Why are we describing it as Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim? So So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? You're right. For the majority of our body, so you're right, it's a pasuk in the Torah. But what about our hair? So for our hair, so we need a Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim. So So what's the Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim as it relates to hair? So in terms of what is a knot in the hair, that would render a chatzitza. So if, let's say, it's one strand of hair that's knotted, so that obviously that knot is really tight. And since it's so tight, there's no way that water is going to be able to penetrate into that knot, and therefore that is going to be a chatzitza. If it's three strands of hairs that get knotted because it's three strands, so it's thicker, and therefore the knot is not going to be tight. Admittedly, by the way, it's a little bit hard to see if we're talking about three strands of hair. And that's going to make all the difference. But the Gemara says, yeah, that's going to make all the difference. And so since the knot is not going to be so tight, so consequently, water will be able to penetrate. It's not a chatzitza. By two hairs that are knotted together, so the Gemara says, any yodel. Okay, so unclear about the chatzitza status of two hairs. But that's the, and the Gemara now is qualifying this as Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim. I don't know. So Aronami Daraisa Ninu. The Gemara says, what do you mean it's Halach LaMoshe Mitzrayim? It's a pasuk dichsiv, rachatz besara b'mayim. Es hatafala besaro. So we have the S over here, and we're dashing the S. Okay, right? Elsewhere the Gemara has the thesis of Rav Shimon HaMsuni, dashing every S in the Torah. Okay, so the S over here is obviously discussing it generally speaking serves as a ribui, right? Kabed es avicha ve es imecha. So the Gemara Ksuvas goes through a number of explanations in terms of who else do you have to be mechabed in addition to your father, in addition to your mother. Okay, older siblings, older sibling, in-laws over there, step-parents. Okay, anyway, the S is a ribui. So over here, the S surface is a ribuy as well. So it adds. So in other words, S bisaro. So what's the S coming to add over here? So S is coming to add your hair. So b'mayim S hatafala bisaro umayniu sa'aro. Okay. Really interesting, by the way. What comes out now from the Gemara is that a drasha is not halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Meaning, what the Gemara is arguing is that I don't need halacha Moshe Mitzinai because I know from the pasuk. How do I know from the pasuk? It says so in the pasuk. No, it says the word S, and we're darshaning the word S. Okay, so what comes out clearly over here is that a halacha derived via drasha is still in a different category than halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai is a halacha that literally has no connection to the psukim whatsoever. But when I'm learning a halacha via drasha, that's not halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That is still considered kasav b'Torah. Comes out very clearly from our Gemara here. Anyway, the Gemara says ki asay hilchos halicha d'Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, okay, there still is room for halacha Moshe Mitzinai as it relates to chatzitza. How do I know that? So it comes out to the following licha d'Rav Yitzchak da'amar Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak teaches us the following halachas. We turn now to the Amud Beis. Dvar Torah over here, Rashi says clearly, halacha Moshe Mitzinai. From the context of our Gemara, we knew that. But obviously, it's that word, halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Rubo makbid alav chotetz. Visheino makbid alav eno chotetz. Vigazra rubo visheino makbid mishum rubo amakbid. Vamiyuta makbid mishum rubo amakbid. Okay, so what's the halacha regarding chatzitza? It's like this. Okay, what creates a chatzitza? So obviously something that serves as a barrier between you and the water. So if it covers the majority and it's something that really bothers you, and I need both of those factors, then and only then do I have a chatzitza min haTorah. But if you take one of those factors away, there is no chatzitza min haTorah. However, what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim said, look, if you take only one of the factors away, but since you have the other factor, and since you're only one factor short of being a chatzitza min haTorah, so the chachamim made a gzera. So if I, instead of rubo, it's miut, but you're makpid, so that's a chatzitza, midarabanan. If it's miut, if it's rubo, but ain't no makpid, but you're only one factor away from being a chatzitza daraisa, that too will be a chatzitza midarabanan. However, remove both factors. If it's a miut, the ain't no makpid, so it's only a minority of surface area, and you are not makpid, so there, because now we are two away, so then the Chachamim did not make a gzera. All this is coming to us how? Via halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Meaning there's no pasuk that describes this. This is halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Okay. Big discussion to be had over here. I'm not going to have the big discussion, but I'll just simply, I'll create awareness. And that is that we are saying rubo makpid is going to be a chatzitza min haTorah. Right now, is the Gemara talking about basar? Or is the Gemara just talking about Seyar? You know, it's funny. In the context of the Gemara, right, if you read the Gemara, and the daf actually allows for a smoother transition because we're going through the Gemara relatively quickly right now. If you just follow the flow of the Gemara, it still sounds like we're talking about hair. Right? Not necessarily. Meaning what the Gemara could have done is the Gemara really could have just rejected the whole approach to Seyar. And this is just a whole new point in Chatzitza. However, from just the flow of the Gemara, it sounds like we're talking about hair. Okay, or we're talking about the whole body. If we're talking about the whole body, so basically what comes out now is as follows. So let's say you have a little bit of dirt on your body, and you go into the mikvah, but it happens to be that it's miut, it's certainly not the majority of surface area of your body, and if this is the kind of thing where it doesn't bother you, okay, now obviously that, right, let's just assume that that's so. So then, what that means then is that there was no chatzitza whatsoever. Meaning, it's miut veino makpid, so you have neither factor, so therefore it's not going to be chatzitza. However, as Tosfos points out over here, there are those who say that this halacha is specific to hair and not to the body. Right? Yesh mefarshim, see the top Tosfos over here? Dahache ari b'seyar. So this whole discussion of the halacha Moshe Mitzinai is specific to hair. Ava babasar chotze, tafil miut, sheino makpid. But when it comes to the basar, so there will be chatzitza, even if it's miut and even if it's eno makpid. Okay, that's the yesh mefarshim that's brought down by Tosfos. Tosfos happens not to like it. Tosfos says he doesn't agree. He cites a number of other gemaras. He feels that our gemara over here, this halacha Moshe Mitzinai, is not just limited to hair. It includes hair. It includes basar as well. Okay. So and from this point, obviously the discussion goes well past the daf. But anyway, just to know. Just to be aware that there is a debate amongst the Rishonim as to what our limitation over here is that when we say that a miut she'eino makbid is not a chatzitza at all, is that specific to the hair? Does that include the basar as well? Okay, there's much more to discuss in that regard. Veligzar nami, I'm back in the Gemara, four lines down. Veligzar nami amiutu she'eino makbid, misham miut ha-makbid, inami misham rubo she'eino makbid. So the Gemara says, so now, if I have neither factor, meaning it's a minority and you're not makbid, it doesn't bother you. So why don't we say that there's a gzera over here to be made? Meaning we're only one step removed from being a chatzitza min haTorah. The Gemara's answer, we all know it. So he gufa gzera v'ananekum v'negzer gzera l'gzera. Yeah, but two steps removed is two steps too far. Meaning when the chachamim make a gzera, so they make a gzera l'Torah. But they don't make a gzera l'gzera. Already at that point in time, it's too far. And so they are bound by how many layers of gzera it is. Now, admittedly, by the way, this is difficult to put your finger on and to ascertain what is one gzera, what's a dual gzera, what's a double gzera, right? You're going to find the Gemara writing on a number of occasions, kula chad gzerahi. Don't count that as two, count that as one. So admittedly, this is not easy to do. It's hard to give real clear definition of what's one gzera, what's a double gzera. Okay, but over here, at least, look, we can go case by case. And over here, the Gemara says with clarity that this is a single, this would be a double gzera, and goes in gzera l'gzera. Okay. That brings us now to the end of the chatzitza portion of today. And now we're up to the last one, and that's mechitza. So when it comes to mechitza, that's also halach l'moshe misina, mechitza hadam aran. So the Gemara says mechitza is halach l'moshe misina, and just basically go back, circle around all the way to the beginning of today's daf. Meaning, go based on the machlokes that we had yesterday in terms of how to measure the kalim, and if we subscribe to the shita of Rebbe Yehuda, that the amashal binyan is shisha, but the amashal kalim is chamisha, and so once the amashal kalim is chamisha, so then our, right, I say this with pun intended, our whole binyan falls apart, okay? How do I know that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high? And the answer is halach l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says, good. So circle all the way back to the beginning of the daf, and now you know that mechitzas are halach l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says, hanich l'Rabbi Yehuda, l'Rabbi Meir, Michael l'Meir. The Gemara says, good. And that's if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda. What if I hold like Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Even if I hold like Rabbi Meir. All right. So the 10 tefachim halal of the sukkah. So I may have a source for that, okay, but there are many other halachas of mechitza that obviously have no source whatsoever and are therefore halach l'moshe misinai. Ki ase hilchasa l'gud v'lavud dofen akum. The Gemara here just gives about three examples of halach l'moshe misinai that clearly doesn't have any source in the Torah and clearly is just simply part of a mesorah, but is not a halacha that's kasa b'Torah. Three examples are good. Walls extending, right? We've already dealt with this. Walls going up, walls going down. Good asik, good achis. Good. That's one halacha moshe misinai. A second one is lavud. Any two items that are within three tfachim of one another is considered like the area is closed up. That's lavud. And finally, dofen akuma. Dofen akuma, which we saw back on daf dalid. So the idea that a vertical wall will bend horizontally up to a point of dalid amos. But nevertheless, that horizontal is viewed as part and parcel of the wall. That's also halach l'moshe misinai. Okay. There are others as well. The Gemara over here is just a sampling. Okay. That is part one of today's daf, part two. Today's daf is how many mechitzas does there need to have, does it need to make a sukkah? So we turn back all the way to day one of the Masech, the daf beis. And on daf beis, so we learned that it needs to have three walls. And the Mishnah says, "Ein la shalosh tefanos." If it does not have three walls, so it would be psula. So sukkah would be pasul. So from the Mishnah, it seems pretty clear that a sukkah needs to have three walls. In tomorrow's daf, so we're going to be spending a good part of tomorrow's daf learning together that the third wall does not have to be a full wall. Okay, but that's for tomorrow. In the meantime, today the discussion is going to be extraordinarily basic. How many walls do I need to make a sukkah? In fact, it's a machlokas hatanayim. Our Mishnah obviously represents one opinion, and obviously the accepted viewpoint. But as we're about to learn now in a braisa, there's another viewpoint. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, Shtayim Kilchasam V'Shlishas Afilu Tefach. Tanakama of the braisa, the Chachamim say that it is going to be three walls, And here in the Bryce, the third wall can even be just a tefach. How do we place a tefach? So come back tomorrow. We will discuss it in detail. Okay. So interesting, by the way, the Mishnah does not talk about this halach lamoshe misinai, that the third wall can be even a tefach. Okay. Not for a moment am I suggesting that the Mishnah argues on this point. It just happens to be that this detail is not given to us in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just simply says shalosh tefanos. Okay. The shtaim keuchasan v'shisha afilo tefach. Sorry. Back to our Gemara. Rabbi Shimon amar shalosh keuchasan urevias afilo tefach. So, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you need four walls. Now, again, the fourth wall could be just a tefach, but you need four walls. So, the Gemara says, what is the nekuda machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon? So here the Gemara begins giving us five different ways to go over this halacha, this machlokas. Number one, Rabbanan Savre Yeshem Lemesos, Rabbi Shimon Savre Yeshem Lemikra. So a discussion that we had in the beginning of Sanhedrin, and now we got to review again, and that is when we're looking at the Torah and how to extract halacha from the Torah, are we looking at the way of the Mesorah, or are we looking at the way of the Mikra? What's the difference between Mikra and Mesorah? So we know that we have a specific Mesorah in terms of how each of the words of the Torah are spelled, and we also have a specific Mesorah in terms of how they're pronounced. And the two don't go hand in hand necessarily. In other words, sometimes it could be chaser, sometimes it could be missing a vav, and meanwhile, in terms of pronunciation, we'll pronounce it as if the vav is there. Okay. And there's significance to both, meaning that obviously there's a reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu had a word written one way and pronounced a different way. And there is obviously value to both. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara here in Sukkah says, in terms of primacy, in terms of what is going to be generating the halacha, do we focus more on the Mesorah, spelling, or do we focus more on the Mikra, the way it's pronounced? Good. That's what the Gemara now is suggesting is the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbanan Savar Yeshem LaMesorah, Rabbi Shimon Savar Yeshem LaMikra. So Rabbanan Savar Yeshem LaMesorah, so let's go through each one. So if you go through the Pesukim and Parshas Amor, so you're going to see that Pesukos, right? We're not going to go through the Pesukim right now, but you'll see that three mentions of the word Sukkos, two of them are Chaser, one's Male. We're going to assume the following. The Chaser is going to be counted as one, okay? Because the primacy is to the way that it's spelled. That's Mesorah. And and one of them is Male. Now, Male means it's in the plural. And we're going to invoke a rule that we just introduced ourselves to in yesterday's daf. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta. So in the plural, so we're going to assume two and no more than that. So now, the math over here today is easy. 1 + 1 + 2. That gets us to 4. Hare kan arba. Now, dacha legufe. Now, one of them is going to be taken away because you can't darshan the first usage of the word sukkah. The first usage of the word sukkah is there to tell us about the sukkah. Right. So that's not open for a drasha. So pashalu tlasa. So that now leaves us 2. Right. The Gemara's assumption over here is that the one that was removed is one of the chaser. So now we have a chaser and a male left over. A chaser and a male, it's 1 + 3. So now we got 3. So now that tells us that how many walls do I need? 3 walls. Good. Now, we do have a halacha Moshe Misina that tells us that one of the walls can be reduced. So since I have 3 walls and I add the halacha Moshe Misina to the third wall, that gets me to 2 and change. Okay. That's Yesh Eim LaMesorah. Now, Rabbi Shimon Savar Yeshem LaMikra, and Rabbi Shimon says primacy is going to be given to the way it's pronounced. Now, in terms of pronunciation, so it's pronounced sukkos every time in the plural. So besukkos, harekan, sheish. So that now means that we have each one of them representing 2. Again, plural over here we assume is 2. So that's 2 × 3, that's 6. So now, dalchad kra legufe. Now again, one of the psukim are going to have to be removed because you can't darshan the first reference. The first reference, obviously, is the halacha itself that we need to sit in a sukkah. Okay, good. So now we've taken one away, brings us down to 2. But 2 × 2 = 4. So now, pashalu arba, shalshke uchsan ase uchsa, vagarasa, revisa, vukmusa, atefach. Okay. And now the halacha Moshe Messina is going to take one of the walls and reduce it. So that brings me now to three and change. Four walls, but with halacha Moshe Messina, it's three and change. Okay, that's all approach number one. The Gemara is going to try a couple of other approaches. Ebay, same as second approach to Kulam Yeshem LaMikra. Everyone says that primacy is on the way it's pronounced, which means then that it's two and two and two, like totaling six. And now the question is that do I need an additional drusha for the schach? Meaning, is the schach already included and incorporated in the first reference of sukkah? Meaning, when we took one away for sukkah. Okay. Right? Because again, it's a legufe. Does that include schach? Right? Like, you know, like kind of like batteries included? So is schach included in that or no? Maybe we need a separate drusha for the schach. Okay. And basically it comes out like as follows. So if I need a separate drusha for the schach, so look, one is taken away for sukkah. Let's start from the beginning. We start with six. One is taken away for sukkah, for the actual sukkah itself. That brings us down to four. Because again, when we say we take one away, we take one word away. So that's now we're down to four. If I need another limud for schach, so now I'm not taking the word away for schach, I'm just taking a drusha away. That brings me down to three. And now I'm going to use the halach l'moshe m'sinai to reduce that wall. Okay. On the other hand, the other approach, this would be Rabbi Shimon's approach, is that no, sukkah includes schach, and now I don't have to take one away, and now the halach l'moshe m'sinai takes us from four to three and change, but it's still four. Okay. And by the way, this may be connected, could be. Remember, day one of the Masechta, Rashi on two occasions in the Masechta says, that you know the sukkah, you know why it's called sukkah, because of the schach. Meaning the very definition of the sukkah is the schach. And it could be that this is part of that discussion. Okay. Ibai seima. And now we are up to our third approach. Dukulam yeshem la mesorah. So really we're going to start off with the mesorah. The mesorah is how it is written. And again, it's 1 + 1 + 2. So it's 1 + 1 + 2. Now we're going to take one away. So that brings us down to three. And now we have a halach l'moshe m'sinai. What the Gemara now is suggesting in this approach is what's the halach l'moshe m'sinai coming to do? One opinion is that it's coming to reduce. And the other one is it's coming to augment. Okay. If it's coming to reduce, that's two and change. If it's coming to augment, so now it's going to be three and change. Okay. Ibai seima. Here's our fourth approach. No, the halacha Moshe Messina is coming to reduce. And really, we're going to start with the Mesorah. Again, that's the way it's written. That's 1 + 1 + 2. And the question now is that do we have the right to darshan the first usage? And that is the machloks between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. So the Chachamim do not allow for the drasha of the first usage. So now that means that the first one is by definition ligufe. So that's taken off the table, leaving us with three. Good. That's a chachamim. And Rabbi Shimon says darshan tchilos, that the first usage can even be darshan, even though we need it ligufe, but you could double dip. You can use it ligufe and you could use it for drasha as well. That would be Rabbi Shimon, and that means that you'd have four walls. Yes, the halacha Moshe Messina takes that fourth wall and reduces it, but that would be four walls. Okay, an extraordinarily technical discussion of the Gemara regarding how to explain the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon and the technicalities of how to darshan. That's all approach number one. And we'll finish up today with a second approach. Rabbi Masna, Amar Tami de Rabbi Shimon Mehacha. Rabbi Masna says no, that Rabbi Shimon actually generates this halacha from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Happens to be that we encountered this pasuk in Yeshayahu on day one of the Masechta. And here now the Gemara is using this pasuk to explain the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Masna Amar Tamid Rabbi Shimon Miach of Sukkot Yelat Sel Yomam Micharev Lamechzol Lamistor Mizerem Umimatar. So again, as the Gemara pointed out back on Daf Beis, the pasuk in Yeshayahu is not talking about Sukkah, the mitzvah. The Gemara is talking about Sukkah La'asid Lavo. La'asid Lavo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to shelter us, and he's going to provide a shelter for us that's going to provide shade. It's going to provide all from rain, from storms, from heat. It's going to be a shelter. So, but meanwhile, as the Gemara pointed out, what choice does the Navi use in terms of how to describe the shelter? It uses the word sukkah. Okay, so the Gemara now is back on, if you remember, all the way back in the beginning of the Masechta. So this was one of the reasons why the sukkah has to be within 20 amas high, right? If you recall, if you remember, Rabbi Zeira said that this pasuk in Yeshaya tells us that the shade has to be provided from the schach. That's what we learn now from the pasuk of Sukkah Tiel Sol Yamam. If the sukkah is too high, you're not getting shade from the schach; you're getting it from the walls. Good. That was Daf Beis. Now in today's Daf and Daf Vav, so we're using the pasuk to explain Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says your sukkah has to have four walls. Why? Because the Navi describes it as a shelter. And if it's providing shelter, if your sukkah is made up of only two walls and then a tefach, that's not a shelter. But if your sukkah is made up of three walls and change, that's a shelter. Okay, that's the Gemara's second suggestion. I mean, aside from all the technical drushas, that's the second suggestion in terms of what is the svar behind Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Okay, tomorrow what we're going to start is we're going to go through the all the permutations of how exactly that third wall, which is one tefach, so how does it need to be placed? Okay, you'll see. Tomorrow is going to be a very visual daf. If you have pictures to come in with tomorrow, it would be extraordinarily helpful. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. How do I know that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall minimum? The halal sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall minimum. And the answer is halach l'moshe m'sinai. Despite the fact that the best efforts of yesterday's daf, we try to generate the halacha based on psukim and kalim in the base of mikdash, but when all said and done, we need a halach l'moshe m'sinai, which then led us into today's discussion of the daf, in that there are three areas of halacha which are very halacha l'moshe m'sinai centric. Okay. They are shiurim, chatzitza, and mechitza. And over the course of today's daf, for most of today's daf, so we went through various examples of shiurim. For a moment, the Gemara thought it's really a pasuk in Chumash, right? But the pasuk in Parshas Eikev describing the peiros haaretz. But meanwhile, the Gemara points out that's an asmachta. But the truth of the matter is, it's really all halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And I noted today, it's clear from today's daf that asmachta is not limited to dinei derabbanan. Asmachta is also true by halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The second halacha we learned today is chatzitza. What aspects of chatzitza are halacha l'moshe m'sinai? So the Gemara ended up concluding that the rubo makbid, that's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And then if you have one of the factors, if it's rubo ve'eno makbid, or if it is miut u'makbid, so if you have one of the factors, so the chachamim made gzera, that too would serve as a chatzitza as well. But min ha-Torah, the chatzitza is rubo makbid. Is that talking about the entire body? Is that talking only about the hair? Okay, so I touched on the Tosos at the top of the Amud Beis today. That is subject to a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. And finally, mechitza. Mechitza is halach l'moshe m'sinai. Many areas of mechitza are halach l'moshe m'sinai. The ten tefach halal, dofen akuma, lavud, good asik, good achis, are but just examples of halach l'moshe m'sinai. There are others as well. How many walls does your sukkah need to have? Our Mishnah said three. We learned a brisa, that's a machlokas atanayim. It's either going to be three or four. Chachamim say three, which obviously is our Mishnah. And Rabbi Shimon says it is four. What's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara first went through a lengthy, detailed discussion of predicated on Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMesores, plus how does that intersect with the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai? Okay, that's all but one approach, but within that first approach, four permutations of that approach. And then finally, at the end of the daf, the Gemara gave another svara behind Rabbi Shimon that I have to have four walls because the Navi describes a sukkah as a shelter. And if as a shelter, you need four walls. Three walls does not create a shelter.